I have no idea.
Here I am.
Woohoo!
Jeff Greiner.
You know, I was in the D.C. area for Thanksgiving recently here and happened to get together with a certain Mike Shea for dinner. And he and his wife just couldn't help themselves but consistently throughout the dinner refer to me as Jeff Greiner.
Yes! That's awesome.
You know, when I start something, it sticks. That's just how it goes.
That is awesome.
All right. Well, this will be the start of the podcast then. The nice introduction with Jeff Greiner.
Jeff Greiner.
Yes. Because this time I can stay for more than 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I can maybe I can maybe get in a whole tent.
Yeah, you've got like double your time from last time.
Wow. Outstanding.
Well, why don't you start us with an update on your how no to grow BMO, I think is how it's pronounced.
How no to grow a BMO, how not to grow a beard a month.
Yeah, that's it.
It actually concludes today. Today's the last day of the whole thing. And in the last 24 hours, my sponsorships have gone from $40 to $200.45.
Wow, that's awesome.
All right.
So that's not too shabby at all. And I've even made a deal on the Tome Show recently that if we reached $100 by the end of the month, that I would post a particularly provocative picture of one Tracy Hurley. And I have in fact just 10 minutes ago posted that picture, although it's upside down. I don't know why.
So very nice. So that's going to be the, on the tomeshow.com or where can people find that?
The picture is posted at honotogrowabimo.org.
Oh, link that up.
It's easier to find if you go to beards4boobs.org.
Yeah, I'm down with going there, but I have a feeling if my girlfriend sees that in my browser history, she might think something's up.
So that might be why beardsforboobs.com was not available. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go there.
Yeah.
It's better than beardswithboobs, though. .com.
That's what I was thinking, too, yeah.
Or the other way around. Boobs
with beards. Oof. Boobs. Yeah. Jeez. I think that's very that's very European.
Yes, it's very continental. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you crazy guys.
Yeah, well.
DMing, huh? How's that going?
Really well. Really, really well. I'm playing a lot with the new virtual table that they have out in beta right now for Wizards of the Coast. So it's
sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. I mean, it's a light virtual table at the moment. You know, the amount of dungeon tiles you can use and the amount of features in it are you know, not up to, I think, where they want them to be, but I think that's the whole point of beta, is they're getting feedback on what, you know, what the more important features are to have included when they launch. So, right. which is good. It means they're trying to avoid kind of what happened with the online character builder, which was basically just...
I was going to say, is that what they should have done with the character builder?
I'm not going to propose to say exactly what they should have done. I just have a feeling that they're trying to avoid what happened. So, if I start telling them what they should have done, I could be here for a long time. So.
And if your ideas are too good, they might just accidentally hire you, and we don't want that.
I don't think I'll get hired anytime soon, but I could definitely do some consulting for them if they, you know, if they need it. No, it's really fun though.
There's entirely too much instability in working at Wizards of the Coast these days, I think.
Well, and we've talked about it before. I've worked in an industry that is heavy in design in the past, and even larger companies run, it's just a corporate mentality. You know, a lot of large companies, Microsoft, Apple, they all kind of have that same dev cycle where they will get young talent and they will use them to create some pretty nice products. But then, you know, once they start going up in pay grade, or once, you know, their production versus workload starts to drop off, you know, they ship them out to other companies or they just get rid of them. And Wizards of the Coast is just a much smaller company, and the community that they're plugged into is very tight knit, and so you feel and you hear about those things a lot more than you do at like Microsoft. Because Microsoft 2 years ago dropped like 6,000 people, but you know, it's not as big as when Wizards of the Coast fires four guys.
Well, Thad, right. There's also another. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but I don't know any of those people that lost their jobs at Microsoft.
See, I do.
That's the difference for me.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Randall?
No, I was just going to say that there's also the aspect of when you're talking about those kind of folks, they're very creative. Those same kind of folks do not do politics very well, and to succeed in a corporate environment, you often have to be willing to play politics.
Yeah.
To move ahead or whatever, and if you aren't into that or don't feel like you need to do that, then it's not going to be something that you stick around for. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you have to be able to – the politics require you to do sometimes some underhanded stuff. I mean, do you guys know how Ferrari got started? I think it was Ferrari. Yeah, Ferrari. So dude,
the Italian sports car company?
Yeah, yeah. So dude was in the military, right? The founding father of Ferrari, and he was a tank mechanic, and he was deployed in northern Africa. And so every time new shipments of tanks and parts would show up, he would get all of the instruction manuals, and he would memorize them, and then he'd destroy them and claim that no manual showed up. And then he was looked at as a genius inside of his battalion because he just knew how to fix all the tanks and keep everything running. And so he was promoted multiple times and was, you know, received commendations and all sorts of stuff because he basically did whatever it took to make himself look like the most valuable person in his unit. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had not heard that story. Interesting.
Yeah, he actually wrote it in his memoirs, but I think before he died. So either it's just a really good lie that he came up with or it's, you know, how it happened. But good story either way. I can keep talking.
No.
I'll just keep going. Yeah. I just wrote an article about I'm going to start using the virtual table in my home game. It's just, you know, kind of an experiment, but I kind of wonder if the virtual table systems that are out there are a viable tool for a DM who doesn't have either the money to buy a lot of minis and battle net mats and tiles and whatnot, or for guys like me who live in a really tiny apartment and who basically have to push all the furniture off to one side of the room for an entire day when they set up for D&D. And if I can save myself that headache every once in a while and just play on the TV, that would be awesome.
So you're going to pass the mouse around? Is that how that's going to work for you?
Well, I'm going to see if I can't get one or two of them beta invites, and so they can have their own laptops there. But I'm also going to have one computer hooked up to my big screen TV, and it has a USB mouse and a USB keyboard. So, if, you know, if someone doesn't have a beta account or if they don't have a laptop, then they can use that as well. And then I'll have my laptop where I'm sitting. So I can, you know, I can do the fog of war and keep things secret from them. So they can't, you know, they won't be able to see my monster's hit points and stuff like that, like I can see it. So yeah, kind of.
It's funny, but aren't you becoming the big fears that everybody had when the digital initiative was first announced? That everybody's going to be sitting around staring at their laptops and nobody's going to be talking to each other?
Well, you still have to talk, though. That's the thing. It's not like World of Warcraft where you just click buttons and everything happens. You know, all the role playing still has to take place. All of the movement still has to take place. It's just on a screen instead of on a table. I think it's still in the living room. We're still sitting around drinking a lot of beer. We're still having a good time. It's just on my TV instead of on my table, and it means I don't have to move all my furniture around. For me, it's just a huge plus, especially when my girlfriend...
You don't have to look at anybody.
I do have to look at everybody. They're sitting right in front of me.
I'm just joking.
And my players are ugly, and I would rather not, but luckily they don't listen to the podcast.
I think it's going to be really good for playtesting. I know I've seen a few people already just say, hey, I want to work out something. I'm getting a bunch of people on right now, and we'll try this out. think that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, it's if it
going to Fred, the monsters I created for Lost City, and he's just like Finn is totally scared right now.
It's like oh crap.
Finn does not want to come up against these creatures.
Yeah, there's nothing like sitting down a large or a huge mini right there on the table, and they just freak out.
That's when you know you're designing monsters well, then.
Absolutely.
When players just have a little bit of fear, a little bit of that, oh, I just crapped my pants a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I hope the playtest comes out really well for these, because I think people will like them. I don't know how much more I can say on it right now, but I'm really excited.
Although, Tracy, I do have a special request.
Mm-hmm.
When you're creating your Gamma World campaign for, what is it, DDXP, is that what it's called? Right.
Yeah.
Please throw in a Gallus 513.
You talk about that every single time.
Please throw it in.
That's the giant chicken, right?
That's the giant chicken. Giant chicken.
It'll talk and it'll have a ring.
You can status however you can stat it out however you'd like. You know, I don't care if there's any official Gallus 513 or not, but put in a Gallus 513 for me.
I will do my best.
Okay, that's all I can ask.
I have no idea. I've played one game so far of Gamma World, and that's it. So this will be very interesting. It is a real challenge, and I know that Dave Chalker already has a lead because he's run Gamma World before. So I'm just going to have to study up as soon as Lost World's done. No, not Lost World, Lost City.
Didn't he win Gen Con?
You mean the contest, or did he win all of Gen Con?
No, it was PAX. You know, it was PAX, right?
It was PAX East. But Dave wins every con he goes to, because he is Dave the Game Chalker.
That is true. That is a good... But, yeah. We might have to take him down.
Yeah.
Your website's... It's getting there.
I might have to fly out to the East Coast to do a little DMs challenge. I'll wear a cape.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get the spotlights going, so that way when it's like your turn to sit at your table, the spotlights will be all the way around. And
there's going to be
focus on you.
Fireworks. Smoke. There'll be a smoke machine and like two chicks to walk me to my table. Just two hot chicks. Have you guys ever seen like the extreme ping pong championships? Like on
was that on ESPN?
Yeah, on the Ocho.
I haven't seen that.
They really, like, they have this. Like, they've got, you know, kind of like the confetti cannons when the two ping pong players come out, and they're, like, hot chicks flanking them as they walk to the table. It's freaking hilarious. And it's usually two spindly, you know, nerdy guys getting ready to play ping pong, but, you know, that's exactly how my entrance to the DMs challenge is going to go.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I'll proceed to come in last place right after that. But pomp. Pomp is what it's all about.
Oh, absolutely. You got to go in with style. You got to make an entrance. Because then they'll remember.
Riding chickens.
All right. We are going to have another host in just a second.
Special guest?
Yes.
Is Mr. Shea joining us?
No, I don't believe he is.
Oh, it's not Mr. Shea.
No. By the picture he just posted on Twitter, I'm going to guess that we've lost him to World of Warcraft for a little while, which I'm guessing is why we are very light on guests tonight.
That's why Twitter is down.
Yeah. Like, Twitter has been a huge letdown tonight. And mostly it's because next week the expansion pack for World of Warcraft drops, and they just released a lot of the new content this week. And so...
Hey, that just means I get a word in edgewise, so...
Oh!
I'm still quiet as heck.
Well, you've been having your head buried with the one Lost World project, right?
Lost City, yeah.
Yeah, Lost City, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so. It's my first ever thing I'm writing and developing, so I'm learning everything as I go, and it's crazy. I get about 12 pages, so...
Yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
What is up, Mike?
Hey, are you picking me up through my Yeti?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Okay.
Sort of.
This is my first time using it on my new computer, and I want to make sure it's not the mic on my computer itself.
I mean, that sounded kind of dirty, Mike. Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I know.
Wait, who let this guy on?
Yeah, nobody. I just snuck in. Somebody left the door open. Hey, guys!
All right.
So how are you tonight, Mr. Mike?
I'm awesome. I got a new computer.
Looks like it. I saw the picture there.
Yeah.
I also saw what you were playing.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were an addict.
I'm a casual addict.
Right.
I only do it recreationally.
You know by definition there's no such thing as a casual player.
Well, a casual player, I only have two level 80 characters.
Right. Oh.
You can stop at any time.
Oh, so
right?
you're new at this whole
Yeah. Wow. No pun intended. Yeah.
How is the new Cataclysm stuff, the pre-Cataclysm stuff?
It's pretty cool. I mean, what are we going to talk about WoW now?
We'll talk about whatever, man. You know?
I mean, so all I do is I run around and check my frame rate. That seems to be me.
Okay, I'm going to increase my resolution here just a little bit.
Yeah, it's honest to God. I will sit in there for an hour tweaking my settings to make sure that I get the exact balance of quality graphics and frame rate.
And your wife's studies.
And it's sad.
And your wife's studies. Is that what I just heard?
What does my wife do? What?
I said not just your own settings, your wife's settings.
Oh, yeah, okay. I have to go mess with her computer because hers is brand new too. So I spent a lot of time on her machine getting
it. Wow. Okay, so now we have two mics. So this is going to get nice and confusing. This is Mike Weimholt or Weimholt. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Yeah, maybe he doesn't have a microphone. He can listen. But he goes by the Weem on Twitter. So.
That's right. I am familiar with his blog. Yeah. He occasionally posts very clever pictures.
Yeah.
Among other great things, but yes.
Yeah, I am fighting the urge to go buy the expansion pack for World of Warcraft. So, comes out the day after my birthday, and I keep thinking, oh, you know, you should get it for yourself for your birthday. You know, a little birthday present. Yeah.
I don't need any more distractions.
Yeah. I think, why would I do that to myself? I am almost 1 year clean, and I want to get that 1 year coin.
So. Yeah, when you get that 1 year coin, it's a big. I've been out for a year and a half. So.
I got a 6 year anniversary coin in Warcraft.
Is it a pet?
No, they gave a pet last year.
I got the pet last year.
So. Yeah, you get a Chivo this year.
Nah, but.
I could give a damn about Chivas.
Yeah. That's just another way to get you to keep your account going so you can get all the achievements.
Right.
I don't know. It must be like how a cigarette or a longtime smoker looks at those cigarettes every now and then. So that's kind of how I view WoW. So.
You know, I mean, the thing is, I played EverQuest for like 5 years. And if you want to talk about a game that demands your life, that game demanded your life. And WoW is nothing compared to that time.
Oh,
I
wow.
Mean, I had a 5 day period camping for a single item in EverQuest. And I'm not talking like 5 days, like 8 hours here. I'm talking 5 straight days where I hoarded food in my fridge and I had a stack of DVDs and, you know, and waiting for the dragon to show up. And it showed up at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. And I had to get a guild from Korea to come and help me kill the thing.
Oh my gosh!
My item that demanded time. It was awful.
And that reminds me of my Final Fantasy 11 days, because there were boss battles that were supposed to last like 11 hours. You know, your whole guild.
Reading the reviews of the most current Final Fantasy, it doesn't sound like it got any better.
No, it sounds like they just basically changed all the continents and stuff like that, and a few names, and then threw the same game at the players. So it sounds terrible. I'm definitely not getting into that one.
I never played either of those. Never played the Final Fantasy ones, and I never played EverQuest. So, but
yeah, I played the hell out of EverQuest.
But yeah, I played WoW.
I had my 10,000 years in that game.
Yeah.
So what's going on with you, Mike? You doing anything fun DM wise or D&D wise or other games?
Basically, which Mike are you talking to?
Well, I don't think the Weem has a mic right now, so.
Oh, so that would be me then.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm running Gamma World. And have you guys seen the Gammarizer? Is that the Gammarizer?
No, what's the gammerizer?
The junk. Oh my the god. Junkalizer.
Yeah, the junkalizer.
The junkalizer.
I've been junkalizing all evening. So Dave Chalker and Jared von Hindman put this together. Jared compiled a list of 800 and some random goofy items, and Dave on Critical Hits built a system where you can go and click a single button, and it does 1d4 random items from this list. But it also hits the Google image search and pulls back images that match the names of the goofy items.
Nice.
So what you get are like these little power cards that show the item, you know, these random pieces of junky items. It's just, you know, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great.
It is very cool.
Yeah, I'm floored by it. I can't wait. So I'm playing a Gamma World game tomorrow. I'm running my first Gamma World game from my regular group. This is the group that we went 1-30 with.
And this is why my site will never beat Critical Hits.
Well, I won't beat it if this is what you try to do.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I love this thing. I just think it's awesome.
Mike, are you going to DDXP?
I'm not.
Okay.
I went when it was here. The problem is I don't want to go to Indiana twice in one year.
Yeah.
It's a I
went to No, it's not. I went to school there for 5 years. I'm very familiar.
Oh, okay.
And I've got friends that are there, but I just don't, you know, and I don't really want to go through TSA and get felt up.
Oh. Why not? It's awesome. But you're going to PAX East, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to PAX East. I'm very excited about that.
Okay, so I have a chance at DDXP, but not at PAX East. Okay.
For what? DM challenge?
DM challenge. Yeah.
You know, the hard part is I'll just somehow screw up, like, even getting on the list. And I'll, like, show up at the door, like, oh, I want to run a game. I didn't sign up. I didn't know what to do.
Just tell them you're Cypherish, you know?
Yeah. Sure, that'll get me real far.
It works for me whenever I tell people I'm Sly Flourish.
You're the one.
Yeah.
Picking up girls at bars.
Oh, man. It was great at PAX this year. Man.
You've seen my monster optimization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I think a little bit of the nerd just died in me when you said that.
Oh.
No, I'm hoping to see a lot of you guys at Gen Con this year. So.
Yeah, and I'll be at Gen Con. We're both going to Gen Con.
I plan to drag my wife from game to game, so.
So which of you guys have been to PAX?
PAX East or PAX Prime?
Well, I guess either.
Yeah, I've been to PAX Prime.
Do you have like a survival guide? Like what, you know, with Gen Con, it took us like two trips to Gen Con to really figure out how to do that. You know, like what we should sign up for and what we shouldn't and how we should split our time up and what we should bring and everything like that. Do you have any tips for those of us going to PAX for the first time? Because like every time I see videos or watch things about PAX, all I see is giant mobs of people waiting to go somewhere. And I'm afraid that I'm going to spend like 4 days stuck in a giant mob of people that just missed Will Wheaton and just missed this. And, you know, and then I'm going to get on a plane and go home. So how do you navigate that? How do you navigate PAX?
Well, there are anything that Mike and Jerry are involved in, you're going to have to cut out, you know, at least two sessions, or, you know, they slot like every other convention, you know, everything's slotted out into time slots. And so you're anything that Mike and Jerry are involved in, you're probably going to have to at least cut out, you know, 2 to 4 hours worth of waiting time. And so right. To be honest, I do one thing that they're involved in every PAX.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to spend, you know, 12 hours waiting in line just to see them on four panels. And there are some bigger name stuff. You know, anything with Will is probably going to have another 2 hour wait to it. And the concerts. Pick one night of concerts if you want to see music, because the concerts will be another, you know, 4 to 5 hours of waiting.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Unless you know somebody who can sneak you in, you're pretty much stuck waiting in line for a long time.
Are the concerts worth waiting that long?
Yeah. Well, I went to the MC Frontalot. Who was it?
Jonathan Colton.
Jonathan Colton. And then I'm terrible. I don't even know nerd music all that well, but, Paul and Storm night. And that was an awesome show. It was definitely worth it. I didn't wait in line though. I hate to say.
Hey, you got snuck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would you wait 4 hours to go to something like that?
No, I would not. I'm not a waiter.
I mean, particularly if there's a bunch of D&D geeks there. My guess is there is. I'd rather sit at a table and play games the whole
time. Yeah, and I ran something like 5 slots for Wizards this last time around. So I spent a lot of time at the table. But I have a lot of friends at PAX, and so I have to balance my time between, you know, just playing catch-up and walking the floor with guys who I haven't seen for a year and I won't see till next PAX, and, you know, getting my game on. So,
Tracy, what was your experience?
Well, at PAX East, the only thing I went to was the D&D seminar. I just hung out with people the whole time. They had the tables for people to play games. I ran a couple games, and then that's when I met Phil, Chet EDM, and a bunch of other people. And there's going to be a ton of people this year. I know some of them live in your area already anyway.
I mean, we're going to try to do a game. I think we're trying to do a game train to get down there. Or up there, I should say. Yeah, we're going to try to get a train and just hang out. Even if we can't play, we'll just hang out with a bunch of nerds for 8 hours, and that'll be awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth taking the extra time to go on the train just to avoid the hassle of the airport. So.
Yeah, again, I don't want to get felt up.
Yeah.
Well, it's like felt up or irradiated. Take your point.
Yeah, I'd rather... Are we doing the safe tag tonight or not?
You know, if you can, go for it. If not, you know, I'm not going to hold
against you.
At
least I'll have a guy's finger up my ass instead of knowing not knowing what I'm going to get irradiated
by.
So the devil I know is better than the devil I don't.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
it's like, should I bend over and cough now?
Exactly. I still think they should be tailors. So you go up there and they feel you up, and then on the other side you get a nice suit.
Yeah.
That's right.
At least some nice fitted pants or something.
Give me some benefit. Right. Give me some benefit. Yeah. Give me a little medical exam afterwards. Like, well, you don't have a bomb, but there's a polyp you really ought to have checked.
Buy me dinner first, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to start moaning. It'll be like, oh, yeah, a little higher.
Hey, you're stealing my thing from Twitter.
Oh.
That's what I said on Twitter.
Now, did you guys hear about Penn Jillette?
Yeah, that was actually a really old article.
Really?
Though.
Okay.
Did you read that?
Yeah.
It was like 4 years ago.
Really?
It was back when the cops would actually help you with stuff like that.
Oh, now they just don't care.
And now they'll just, they'll send you to Guantanamo.
Nice.
Yeah. But it was a great article back then. But that was right after 9/11, I think.
That's too bad. Yeah. I really got to start checking dates when I read stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff gets passed around.
That too. Yeah.
Right. Have you guys seen that dancing gerbil?
No.
Or the double rainbows?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow. Oh, yeah, we'll just pass around internet memes for a while and then call it a show.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess my plan at PAX is I'm going to drag like a DM kit with me. I'm going to sit down at a table and I'm going to put up a thing that says we'll run for food.
Yeah.
And hope that I can just run games for 3 straight days.
Well, and that
it
sounds like PAX Prime and PAX East are almost two different animals as far as role-playing games go, because who from our community, and I say our community meaning, you know, kind of this kind of broad yet tight-knit group that we've kind of formed over Twitter and through our blogs and whatnot, like who's on
the blogger
game. Who's on the West Coast besides me?
I don't know.
Exactly. But who's out?
I mean, I don't really keep track of who's where. I mean, I know the people that are around here that are within driving distance. But, I mean, there's a ton of people in Washington, obviously, Washington State.
I guess
that's not exactly the West Coast, is it?
There is...
Chris Sims?
Chris Sims, yeah.
I'd call it that.
He's going to be a PAX East.
Yeah, that's what sucks, though. It's like, okay, so you guys, you know, newbie DM's there, chatty DM's there, you got Dave the Game... you've got, you know, that Sly Flourish guy, but you know, he was at PAX, PAX Prime hitting on all the ladies too. So,
Sly Flourish? No, he wasn't.
he definitely was.
unless he looked a lot better than me.
you know, you've got Sarah,
Evil Hat's going to be
Sarah Dark Magic's out there. Yeah. I was begging the Evil Hat guys to come to PAX, and they're like, yeah, we just can't make it this year. And I'm like, you went to PAX East. How can you not go to the Prime? But anyway,
They didn't go to PAX East, I don't think. They're going this
year.
Oh,
they went to Gen Con, I think, then. But either way.
No.
They didn't?
No. I haven't met them yet, so.
I thought they did, because they had this big thing about packing all their books on a crate and trying to figure out how much stuff they could get. And
I think one of them went to Origins, but I'm not sure. But if they had been at Gen Con, I probably would have met them. Because Rob's my like
so
favorite guy.
I want to let them know, let the Weem know that his mic is definitely fixed because we can hear him typing.
Sweet.
He speaks. I'm watching his Twitter, you know, talk about his mic, and I'm like, I can hear him tweeting, you know, but he's not saying anything, so.
I didn't want to jump in and interrupt anyone.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. I'm just a little jealous of the PAX East crew because they, you know, I read a lot of your stuff about, you know, all the blogs about going to Gen Con and PAX East and getting to hang out and meet all these fun people. And then I went to PAX Prime thinking, all right, you know, I'm going to put the vibe out there, see if I can't get any of my fellow bloggers to hang out. But, you know, I got to hang out with Chris Sims. And that was that. I mean, we've already broken the barrier. So that was fucking awesome. But sad to say, you know, one of my favorite experiences for PAX was 2 days before PAX started. So.
See, guys, I have a jealous because I'm in the flyover land and it takes immense resources to get to either coast. Yeah. So I'm lucky that I could get out to Gen Con this year. So, but that, which is why I'm going to hang out with everyone and go from game to game and drag my wife to them to meet all these people. So, like, where are we going now? Oh, yeah, it'll be a blast. But yeah.
Well, and there's a little bit. I mean, the first couple of times I think I went to Gen Con, or at least the first time I went to Gen Con, there was this constant feeling that I was missing something that was going on somewhere else right nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of, like, there's so many people. And I think I figured it out by the fourth time because newbie DM started to refer to me as the ever-present Sly Flourish. Yeah, which meant that every time he turned around, there I was, and it's because, like, I, you know, I was in stalker mode, and
you got me just water. It was great.
Yeah, I hear you. Sure. You kept Tracy from becoming angry. And the other thing, angry I, smash the other Tracy.
I just, you know, the thing that I really love is playing or is running games, and you know, I don't need to run like the regularly scheduled games. You know, I'm happy to just grab a table and run whatever. I mean, the Hooters game was just a blast. That was my favorite part of that event.
Yeah.
You know, that was so awesome. And, oh, man, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the most fun I had.
The reports of that were fun to read.
Yeah, that seems like it would have been worth the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And that was just, you know, totally off the cuff.
Here's some pages, read quickly and run.
Yeah, and that's, you know, honestly, though, that's half the fun, right? Half the fun is, here's an adventure, you know, and I'm like, you have to give me the five main points that this adventure is going to do. Because I need to know where the hell it's headed. I need like bullet points.
On even like 20 pages of stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, it's this huge adventure. And it was great, but I just kind of needed that quick outline. So he just, you know, dragged her off in the corner. Give me the five directions. It's like, okay.
Here's a romance novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love romance novel. That was great. And, yeah, and that was awesome. And then, of course, it was intimidating because there's Chris Sims staring at me the whole time, like watching me DM. I'm like, oh, my God.
This is why I'm not DMing at Gen Con.
Yeah, I'm just
I will
standing
play,
there.
But I'm not going to DM.
I'm standing there, and the waitresses are dressed up like schoolgirls, and they're walking around behind me, and I'm totally ignoring them because I'm totally focused on trying to get this game to run, and I'm sweating, and I'm eating wings, and, you know, it was like midnight.
You should probably not tell that story to other people.
Well,
it was a great story.
So
I'm sure the six people listening to the podcast will enjoy.
Yeah, well, four of them are in the podcast, so I think you're going to be safe.
Wow, so, thrown under the bus.
So Weem, do you ever make it to any of the big gaming cons?
I don't. I have not been to one. I do. I'm considering hitting up Gen Con though.
Awesome.
My wife wants to go, so
it is awesome. It's fun. It's a lot of
now
fun.
You're on the West Coast though, right?
Yeah.
How are you,
California?
How are you skipping PAX every year?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, the con stuff hasn't really been too appealing for me. I mean, I've been playing for a long time, but it's just not. It hasn't really been my thing. So.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mike. I'm just teasing.
He escaped con crud.
Yeah, this is true.
Con crud's the important thing to know about cons.
Listen, just wash your phone. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Mike, I love your animated GIF of the GIF Yankee getting jiggy.
I threw that together real quick, a little conversation going on at Ian World, and I just thought I'd throw that up there for man, I forgot his name already.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, generally what I do. I kind of hang out in the forums there and just throw together graphics. That's actually how I came across how I decided to do the site. Was I was doing a lot of content and graphics like that over there and thought, you know, I might as well make a site just to kind of store all this stuff so I can easily find it again.
Right. I'm skim reading your blog.
That's what it's good for.
Are you on 4E blogs?
No.
Do you want to be?
I could.
Okay.
The answer to that is yes. Mike,
yes.
Yeah, you want to do that.
Yeah.
It'll gain you tens of hits a month.
It's very true. It's just one of those prestigious lists that you want to be on, and sometimes you have to send a lot of direct messages to beg to get on. And yeah. So
I'm a pain in the ass about it on purpose, and I have no real rules for it.
Right.
Because it was designed from the ground up to be the opposite of the RPG network, because I saw like that whole meltdown of politics that they had a couple years ago.
Oh, that was ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to run a site kind of like that, but for 4E focused blogs, except it's going to be absolutely totalitarian. Like, you just have to amuse me and you get the site.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah. For me, there was a lot of writing of articles and then kind of checking the site. Was I good enough yet? Was I good enough
yet?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, right. The key is like they have to, and you know,
yeah.
The bear is they have to be articles that I think are good.
You know, it took me a little while too, Thaddeus, just, you know. He's like, yeah, I'll follow you for a little while. See if you
That's exactly what
it.
I tell people. I said, I'll add you to Google Reader and I'll follow you on Google Reader. And if I like what I see, you might end up on the site.
Nice.
Just like,
yeah, I think I did a whole series on Modrons right before I got accepted to the site. I can't remember what it was, but whatever did it, I got
and
on there.
It's not a big deal. I mean, I can tell you what the hit statistics are, and they're not great. So, you know, people that aren't on should feel like they're missing a lot.
It's the backdoor way to get onto that the people on RPG to follow list, because it's on it. Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah. I'm not directly on that list, but I'm indirectly on it through the 4E blogs thing. So occasionally.
Are you talking about the one Morris put together?
Yeah.
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 I'm not bitter.
No, none of us are. Believe
me. I'm not on that either. So.
none of you are on there.
No.
I think I am. I begged him.
Would it be a bad time for me to say I'm on?
Well, didn't you help him figure out what Skype was all about? I mean, isn't that...
Well,
you cheated.
I cheated. Yeah, no, I actually wrote some stuff about Twitter and D&D, kind of an article/post, you know, over there. So that helped, obviously. But
yeah, you cheated. I'm writing it off as that. Cheater.
Just bug him. I'm sure you can get on there.
I bugged him at the beginning. It's okay. I'll do.
I don't know him well enough to bug him. So, and he doesn't post on Twitter all that often, so I don't get a chance. I follow him, and I think he follows me on Twitter, but I don't have a rapport.
Yeah.
So.
Yay. Yeah, I'm like number 8. I'm like...
See, this is... And this is... Mike, you're going exactly... you're going through what we went through when we all got hooked up on 4E blogs is... You know, it's just a little bit of validation for what you're doing.
I'm number 21. But of course, the Weem is like number 6.
Yeah. Freaking, okay, well, the Weem, it was great having you on the show.
Yeah. But, it's been nice. Yeah,
this is for our egos, and I think yours is big enough.
No, I have no ego at all. None.
And then you're definitely on the wrong show.
No.
Yeah, we all have a niche, so.
Yeah. Oh, mine is ego. Did you guys see on Twitter my post about my attempt at marathon podcasting tonight?
Yeah, you said something like four podcasts.
Yeah, I was trying hard to make it happen, but it kind of fell apart. So now it's just four podcasts over 2 days. We were going to record two episodes of the 4Geek 4E podcast, and then I was going to come on and do the DM's roundtable. And then
I was going to jump on and do Giant Fire Breathing Robot. But Fire Breathing Robot got moved to tomorrow night, and I'm also doing a Geek Card podcast tomorrow night. And so, so it'll be four over 4 days. I like to spread my brand out, you know.
You are the podcasting man.
I am. I'm just an addict. That's all I am. Oh, look, Newbie DM finally got into the... That's why he's not playing with us tonight. He got into the virtual table.
And then started bitching about Firefox.
Yeah, somebody better let him know that the virtual table's old news, that he's behind the curve.
Have you guys? I played it that one night, but I haven't played it since. Have you guys been playing with it much?
Yeah. Well, I'll pimp my article again. I love talking about it. I just wrote a big article about... I'm actually using it for my home game. So last night, I used it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That works pretty well.
I have not. The Thanksgiving holiday kept me from getting in. But.
Yeah, it worked really well last night. I'm actually going to take a video of it. I'm going to try to put a camera up in my living room so you can see us playing, but I'm also going to record the action on the virtual table and try to do kind of a split screen thing where you can watch both the table and the room at the same time. I'm not very tech savvy, so I don't know how well that's going to go, but you know. I'll give it a shot. Over at the myrpggame.com, where groundbreaking technology and it's you know, new thing called blogs.
The blogs. Blogosphere.
Oh, please don't ever say that.
Blogs are old news. You should just read books.
Oh, that's right. I have another.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Tracy.
Oh man, I can't even find that who to follow list. Where is that?
It's on the, if you go on the left hand side, it's one of the, there's two lists. There's that and the iPad app or iPad iPhone apps.
On the left side table.
On the left side table of contents.
All right. This must be riveting listening for people.
Yeah.
Listen as Thaddeus navigates the N World website. like your grandmother does. Okay, it's got social news feed and blogs.
I can't find the link. It's right there. I can't find it. It's not there.
Is this the red button that turns it on?
Mouse over. What's mouse over?
All right. I finally found it. Oh, I clicked on it and it just said you're not here, and that's it. Not you. All right.
Honestly, I think that whole thing was like how fast you could send him a message, because eventually he just got saturated. He's like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not putting people on it.
Yeah, I sent him like 5. That was probably the problem. I sounded too desperate.
Well, I never wanted to...
Do those links even work? Because they all look broken to me.
Really?
Yeah.
It took me to...
You click on them and they work?
Yeah, it took me to 4 eBlogs right away.
Where's 4 eBlogs? Well, yeah, that one works, but if you go up, like, look at the one that says Sly Flourish, and it's N-World Forum members Sly. It's going to be a 404. It's got to be.
Well, like, yeah. Newbie DM and Chatty DM and Mike Robles, like, half of their names aren't in it.
That's what I mean. Like, if you look at mine, it's Sly Flourish, and only half the name is there, and it clicks.
Yeah, well...
Link broken.
I don't really care about being on that list anymore. All right.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Hey, Randall, what do you think of the giant riding chicken?
Hey, look.
For a game?
Tracy Hurley.
Oh, I think that's awesome.
Oh, am I on
no.
there?
A giant.
Oh, you are so that mean.
That's wrong. That is not right.
Oh, she's going to hang up.
Yeah, you'll see. You'll see what
I do. Love you, Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy, a giant chicken that you can ride is awesome. Yes.
I think, yeah, I saw your comment on Greg Wolf's thing with the giant riding chicken from a while ago. So I think I need to create the villain now. I think I'm going to name him Thaddeus.
Everybody's just going to think you're naming it after the guy on...
No.
What's that? Your Highness? Is that it? Your Highness?
Yeah, Your Highness. No, it won't be... They'll know. They'll know.
Yeah.
Because he'll get all the ladies?
Yeah.
You know, that guy that's not on Ian World.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Hey, Mike, you'll be happy to know that the Weem is now added to 4 eBlogs.
Excellent.
God, such a cheater. The Weem.
He just knows he knows who to schmooze with, man.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently.
I've been there a long time.
Well played, Mike Ween.
Yeah.
I'll play your game, you rogue.
Play your game, you know, writing good content and putting it out there.
Oh, I don't know if I can play that game. I'm still running with the fake.
Hey, now wait a minute. I write for your blog. Shut up.
Well, yeah, you see what I did, right?
Oh, yeah. So guess who I had dinner with?
Wait.
Do you know already?
Jeff Greiner.
Yeah. He was actually on before you, and displayed his dismay at the growing popularity of Jeff Greiner.
Jeff Greiner. Yeah, my wife now says it all
the
time.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. We were just like, I was talking to him on the phone. Right? Like, we're setting up dinner, and I'm talking to him. Michelle just goes, Jeff Greiner.
I've left my mark on the world. I'm done.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I'm spent. Oh, that's awesome. That makes that, yeah. That made my night.
Your night.
Well, see, I can't call him by his handle because it sounds like a noise you don't want to make.
Squash.
Yeah.
Squatch. Or whatever it is. You know, it's like, no.
Hey, where's the racy pictures? How come we never got to see the racy pictures?
He posted it.
When? Where?
I think it's on the that one. I have no idea where it is. Still, again, this is so. Come listen to the DM's roundtable while we navigate websites. I'm on my word.
Find things on the internet.
I'm on my WordPress admin panel right now, and
which I finally became. I'm laying out my own articles now, Thaddeus. You've noticed that, right?
Yeah. Which, you know, it's awesome if you want to do that. I'll do it. I don't really care.
Well, you're like the, you know, the busiest man on the internet, so, you know.
Yeah.
Between class and restaurant and...
Which I'm leaving to do inventory as soon as we're done reading this. I have to go count all the wine in the restaurant.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Before or after you drink it?
Well, if I can, you know, you down a couple before you count. Otherwise, your count gets messed up after, so.
That sounds... Good,
you don't want them to know what's missing. So, no, it's just end of the month.
Mad Dog 2020 gone.
Yeah. No. Mad Dog.
I take this image and I have to flip it turkey. Up. I have to rotate it. Rotate right. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, where is this?
Oh no. So anyway,
I have to know, why is the name of the image beard.jpg?
Oh, wow. There's so many jokes.
So many people
so many
are, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are more revealing pictures of me on the internet. So, you know, that's... I think Tracy's perfectly safe.
I'm looking to see if there's any geo-positioning data in the metadata.
I can't even find it. Somebody link this picture, because I cannot find it.
He is a true Hexor. It's linked in the chat down below.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, I sent it like twice.
I don't think I'm in the... I can't see that chat. I see no chat.
Oh, maybe... Oh, wait, no. I don't see it anymore either. Maybe after you hung up from the call. Oh, I'd have to go to the old call, probably.
The old PC people have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Oh.
Hey, Shell, want to see Tracy's racy picture?
God. Anyways, I sent it again.
Oh, hey! Oh, upside down boobs. I like that.
God.
It's kind of...
You know, like, the website's going to fall now under the weight of, like, everybody's like, oh! Like,
it's kind of like... It's kind of like...
Crash the site.
It's kind of like porn house...
Wait a minute, there are boobs on the internet?
It's kind of like how Spider-Man sees porn, right? Like, hanging upside down and...
Upside down, that's right.
You just got to get used to it.
Just turn your head, yeah.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's get some direction going here, because we've always got direction, right? Let's do questions from Twitter again. I had a lot of fun with that last time, so I want to see if we can do that again.
I saw you got a bunch.
Yeah.
You want me to
people pulled away from World of Warcraft long enough to ask questions. Let's see. Okay. So we're starting down at the bottom again. So we got Behemoth 0089 again. And he is asking a pretty open-ended question. How do you use an animal companion on 4E with a druid? So basically, I'm guessing the new Essentials build is what he's talking about with the wolf and the bear companion. And he wants to know how to use them.
Pass.
With restraint.
Yeah. My guess.
So I will.
My guess is the animal companion is going to work, you know, just like a animal companion or a spirit companion for a shaman would, or an animal companion for a hunter would. You know.
Yes. Agreed.
It can be looked at as just like a brute attack, or you can play it more tactfully and kind of build your powers around, you know, what flanking can you get with your beast and how do you use it to keep enemies in certain places. So I think maybe it has a controllery aspect to it if you want to use it in that way. But it's kind of a really open-ended question. So
next caller.
Yeah. The Weem asks, why don't you read your own question so we can get it in your voice?
Yeah. Well, I won't necessarily read it. I kind of botched it getting it to you, but essentially, I made a post on my site earlier. I'm kind of facing a dilemma with a group of players that kind of work for the same company, having to miss a number of games, plus other things going on, scheduling problems. So my dilemma was trying to come up with a campaign that is more open, so I can have players come and go, but at the same time, one that has a deep story arc that the other players who are more regular can kind of sink their teeth into. So basically my question was, how do you approach constructing a campaign like that? That's kind of a balance between a very open one and one that's very focused on a story.
I've got an answer.
All right, at least sweet. I'm glad you do, because, man, tough question.
I have a kind of a similar problem. I have a bunch, you know, we're all 30-somethings that travel a lot. You know, we're all DC people that kind of travel a lot, and I get people that are in and out at any given time. So I think I have a pool right now of 8 players, and I usually get 6. Sometimes I get 4 or 5, and sometimes I get 7. I don't think I've ever had a full 8. And and they're constantly in or out. And essentially for the last campaign, I just ignored the fact that they were in or out. You know, just if they were there, they were there, and their character was part of the story. And if they weren't there, they weren't part of the story. And we've joked about that any character that wasn't there was in the bag of holding. And, yeah, you know, or would be tied to a big stick that they would push through doors to see if anything was going to explode. So I didn't have a good way to do it then, but I have since have a couple of ideas that I'm going to use for my Gamma World game and my Dark Sun game that I kind of picked up from the awesome television series Sons of Anarchy, which is a TV show about a biker gang that deals weapons between the IRA and LA. And what I like about the show is there's like a whole bunch of members of the gang, and it kind of focuses on about 5 of them, but there's these other members of the gang that kind of come in or out. So instead of having an adventuring party that's 5 people or 6 people that's static, you instead say that they are part of a larger group. You know, somebody else, I think it was Chatty DM, talked about being like the Justice League, that you have a whole bunch of superheroes, and it might only be 4 of them at any given time. And this, you know, the story can kind of revolve around whatever characters happen to be there, but there's actually now an in-game reason why the other ones wouldn't necessarily be there. Now, if your storyline, you know, if you have 3 nights of adventures that are all part of like one exploration, maybe you're going to a dungeon or something like that, and they're not necessarily going to step back out again. Then you kind of have to do something a little, you know, you're going to have to contrive something, because it's just not going to work perfectly. But I think in general, and in Gamma World, they're going to die so often that I think we're going to have a large group of people go to the first dungeon, and 12 of them will stay outside where the first 5 go in. And then as people die, the next one from the 12 will go in again, which, you know, isn't great, but it's kind of funny. And it'll at least you know, people will recognize that the adventuring group is larger than the pool of players. Did that answer your question? Is that an idea?
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the things that we end up talking about is, you know, the more episodic style campaigns.
Right.
It's just and that's generally the answer when you have a problem like that. It's just not the kind of campaign I've ever needed to run in my 20 plus years of gaming. I've always had a solid group that's always made it until now.
Right. So. And I've had certain players that are almost always there. You know, they miss hardly any. And you can start to kind of weave them. They can end up having stories that fit their character a lot more. You know, I had these epic weapon subplots where there was a weapon that was destined for the hands of each of the characters, and they would have a special encounter. It wasn't even a full adventure. It was one encounter of the night that was really focused around them and kind of closing an arc in their story that resulted in them getting a weapon. So for my wife's character, for example, it was not to talk about my own game. It was her sister, when she was a young girl, had been killed by a demon. So now she got to confront the demon and kill it. And when she killed it, she saw an image of her sister that turned into her bow. And now she has a +6 heart-seeking bow or whatever. And but then there was one guy who just kind of missed his. He just never was there for his. So then he just killed a guy and he got his, like, right away. Now, there wasn't anything that was really tied to his story. It was just, hey, look, one of those Molly Deuce demons also has a Vorpal Glaive. And he killed the Molly Deuce and he got the Vorpal Glaive. So it was his equivalent of the epic weapon, but he didn't have the whole storyline that fit. Because we just didn't know when he was going to be there.
Right.
See, this is why dungeons suck, because you know, once you're stuck
here
in there.
Here we go.
Oh, man.
I also like having things that, smaller adventures that change the game world as it goes along. I like doing that part. That way you can have something that has a storyline for a game, maybe two, and what happens still matters in the game, in the bigger game, but it's not like you have to have the same people there for 4 weeks in a row.
Right. And the interesting thing about something like that is that for players who happen to miss a couple of games, when they come back, you know, they can see these changes. Like, wow, while I was gone, this is kind of what I missed out on. And you guys actually were doing things while I was gone. So it kind of illustrates that.
Yeah.
Now, I have a pretty small, tight group. I mean, I run the standard 5. I think one group has 6. But when they all know each other very, very well. So, I mean, we simply use the run by proxy method. So someone will take up that person's character. If no one is willing to run that character, then the character just misses out on what happens. They just sort of go into the gray, if you will. Now I did have a player leave my campaign, and it actually worked out where that character led a bunch of prisoners out of the dungeon to rescue, and then he didn't come back. He's alive, but he didn't come back. The rest of the adventuring party was able to stay in the dungeon, and he took the slaves out, and so he made a graceful exit that way. But you know, if he comes back, it would be easy to reintegrate him that way. But it's a small, tight group, so it's usually run by the other characters are run by proxy if they're missing. So,
right.
Do you guys divvy out experience to each character, or do you give a general amount of experience to each, or do you not even use experience and you just level them when it's time?
Yeah, I just recently stopped using experience.
I don't use experience.
I go by the book. So
I used experience for a little while, 3.0, but I stopped that during 3.0, 3.5, and never used it during 4.0 at all.
The reason I use experience points is, since I seem to be the one that the group that does still, is because it helps me balance the campaigns. I mean, and the encounters. I actually use it as a mathematic. So,
well, you can still it helps. You can still use it to create encounters, but you don't have to give it to players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found a trick that really helped me later on. I think I wrote about this. You guys probably already know about this. The giving experience based on effort rather than on, like, what they beat. So instead of kind of adding all the monsters up that they killed and then giving them experience, dividing that up among the players, I just kind of judge whether or not what after an encounter, was that easy? Was that hard? Was that normal? And then I give them whatever experience they would have gotten for an easy, normal, or hard adventure.
Sweet. You mean if they kill the guy in one round, then
yeah, exactly. Because I've had that where I've given them like a solo who's 3 levels higher and they totally destroy it in one round. you know, no, you're not going to get, you know, that much.
Doesn't that just teach your players to make easy combats look harder?
Well, that's fine with me. If they can trick me, then I'm happy.
All right.
Ignorance is bliss.
Well, let's move on to the next question. And this one is from Newbie DM. And he wants to know, are there any... Yeah, I know. Jeez. Are there any non-D&D games you'd like to try?
World of Warcraft.
Oh, jeez.
I have a whole list. It's funny.
I don't. I don't want to play anything else but D&D.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And I think I'm unique. Well, not unique, but I think there's a lot of people.
You are a snowflake, Mike. You are a snowflake. Yeah, not the other Mike, but other Mike. You're a unique snowflake.
Yeah, I just, you know, I love D&D, and that's what I want to play.
Cool. What about you, Tracy?
So I want to play. I want to play Dresden, Leverage, Fiasco, Apocalypse World, and I want to try Dragon Age. Those are the main ones I want to try right now.
What about you, Weem?
I think right now top of the list is probably Dresden. I bought the books a while back, and we even went through character creation and everything, and we just haven't actually had an opportunity to start a game. And following that, I'd say Pathfinder, which a friend of mine is actually about to start up in the near future, probably January.
Okay. Randall?
Yeah, the science fiction end. I hope to get Gamma World over the holiday, so I want to play Gamma World. And I'd like to play some more Star Frontiers again. And I would love to be a player in a responsibly run Traveler game. I haven't played Traveler in years. I love the game, but there's no way I would DM it. There's not a chance in hell I'd DM it. But I love to play in it, so...
Well, there's a few games that I would love to play. You know, Fiasco, definitely. I want to play more Dresden Files. I've only played a couple games of it, but I love it. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that one, but I came across it just a little while ago, and I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and so I would love to play that game, at least try it.
Is it Old Eastman and Laird?
Yeah,
or is
yeah,
it like,
yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. Palladium, I guess, made it, or somebody?
So they all have red headbands.
Yeah.
They all have red headbands.
Well, all the art's in black and white, so you know there's no color for their headbands at
the
all.
In the covers they had.
But it's Eric Woodchuck or something like that wrote it. But we're talking, you know, published in the early 90s or something like that. So probably going to be hard to get a hold of, but I would love to play that game. They also did a Robotech role-playing game that it looked like a lot of fun. So, yeah. Okay, so next question is MudBunny74. How would you alter rules for a lunchtime campaign? Ooh, yeah, I like this one. I'm going to go first. I would actually draw a lot on Gamma World for games. You know, and I've talked about this before, and I think I got the idea from Tracy. And you know, give everybody their healing surges as a minor action. I would cut out healing surges per day. You know, just a lot of stuff like that. Increase damage tables and decrease hit points a lot. So, you know, a couple rounds may take you through combat, but combat may be a lot more brutal because you're getting hit for a lot more and you might go down after two rounds. So, that's what I would do.
Once you get to level 5, start over.
Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds right. I would run it like D&D Essentials. I'm sorry, D&D Essentials. I'd run it like D&D Encounters. I'd focus around a single encounter and have some story at the beginning, story at the end, and then one encounter that you ran during the lunch. Hopefully you have a longer lunch break. And be absolutely militant about making sure things move smooth and show them both initiative and show them the defenses of the monsters.
Randall?
Probably very similar to... I would pull techniques from Gamma World except apply it to a D&D game. You know, like you said, the ideas about using the healing surges as miners and things like that are all great ideas. I would make the group small. It would have to be like no more than the maximum of the 5 or whatever. And it would be a small, tight group that would go fast. So they'd have to know the rules.
What about you?
An hour isn't a lot to accomplish anything.
Yeah. What about you, Weem?
Yeah, I think you guys covered it. Honestly, I don't know. It's not something I've ever done or even really thought about doing, such a short game. I'm not sure I would use D&D for that. I know you guys have mentioned Gamma World. I mean, that's probably the best bet there. Doing D&D, I don't know. Maybe do some PvP because that will go real quick.
Yeah. Well, that's...
I'd also...
No, you go.
I was going to say, I'd also put alternate win conditions in. You don't have to defeat them all. You can do other things, and that wins the combat for you.
Tracy, can you give some more examples of that? I've always had a hard time figuring out good alternate win conditions that...
I used to have an article on this on Loremaster, but... things
Hang
like...
on. Everybody wait while we surf and find it.
No, you can't anymore, unfortunately. Things like, you know, there's a key that you need to grab. I can't talk about the other ones, so I'm trying to think of another one. I don't know, things like that. You defeat the leader first, and that'll get the minions to stop attacking you.
Yeah, that's actually something that I have used a lot, is like, when the boss is killed, the other guys explode or run away.
Right.
You know, that...
I like the explode.
Well, like if they're golems, you know, or ghouls or whatever, they could just blow up. Heavy trap-based encounters worked really well. One of my favorite encounters was, not to talk about my game again, but one of my encounters was a big room that was filling up with blood. There was like a 40-inch pipe full of blood that's just pouring blood into this room. So it was going to fill up in seconds, like in less than a minute, it was going to be completely, you know, top to bottom. And there were some whites in it, some warrior whites that they had to kill. And they thought the whites were kind of the big deal, so they paid all the attention to that and didn't realize that figuring out how to get out of this blood room was actually the prime thing. And by the end, it was pretty close. It was a really quick battle, but they were really pushed. And that was a, like, mid-epic, so it was pretty hard to challenge them. And they were challenged by that. That worked really well.
You know what might be a cool encounter? You have to get someone out of a dungeon, and you just have all these minions that keep attacking you in waves.
Did you say something cool about a dungeon?
Oh, no. I think reality,
I'm pretty sure she didn't.
Reality just cracked.
Can we go back to the tape on that? Yeah.
Well, the good news is I'm... Apparently, I'm not recording, so...
Oh, no.
No, I'm just joking.
Well, now I'll hang up, and I'll fix that for you.
All right, so next question comes from D20 Monkey, and he asks, oh, I guess this is just an opinion question. Did essentials help or hurt wizards in D&D? Wizards of the Coast, that is, and D&D.
The business or our game?
It's just one of those questions that sounds like he just wants us to argue. I'm going to say, you know, they laid down an evergreen product model that will hopefully keep us from having to buy all new products again in another year, but who knows? I think it helped. I think it helped my game a lot. I love the essential stuff, so.
I'm mixed about it.
We all listened to the Tome Show, we know.
No, this after the Tome Show, I talked, somebody contacted me on Twitter, because he was very confused. He had went out and he bought a bunch of stuff, and he felt like he still didn't have everything you needed to run an Essentials game. And mostly what he was missing was the rules compendium. I think that's what he was missing.
Did he have the DM kit?
I think he had the DM kit, the red box, and the first players.
Oh, then he didn't need the rules compendium.
Yeah, he was. Oh, that's the rules compendium and the DM kit are almost identical.
That's what I told him. I was like, almost everything in the rules compendium is in either the DM kit or the player's book. I think there are some things that are missing. Still very, like, mounts, I think was... I don't remember seeing them in the DM book. But he was just very confused. Like, he had no idea. The fact that the red box characters weren't anything like the ones in the handbook. I think they kind of mess up a little bit on that. I think overall it'll be good. And then the other thing is sometimes the designing things for across in all of D&D is now really hard.
What do you mean?
So we had a little bit of the change in how class powers work with PHB 3, but now it's even more with the essentials line with the rogue and the fighter not having like dailies. So if you want to do something that is triggered on a daily use, or it just gets harder to design certain things. That's all.
I mean, you had that problem, like you said, you had that problem with PHP 3, right?
Yeah, but lots of people didn't use stuff in PHP 3. Where now you're talking about, you know, fighter and the rogue. I don't know.
I think excuse me. I think that Essentials is the version of D&D that I wish had come out 2 years before. And I think it's the first time. I was surprised to hear that somebody bought those products and felt like they didn't have everything they needed. Because I look at the DM kit, the Fallen Lands, and the I'm not even sure what else you need, right? I think those two alone give you enough to run a game for the first three or four levels. And then if you pick up the Monster Vault, then you can go for a lot longer. The Monster Vault and the Dungeon Tile, or the Dungeon Tile Master Set. And now you can go for a long time before you need anything else. And it wasn't like that at all. I mean, you bought Keep on the Shadowfell, and it meant you had to go out and get a Wet Erase mat, and it meant you had to go get minis, or you had to get something that would represent minis. And, you know, it was a real challenge running some of those games, you know, early on. And, you know, now I have a giant collection of minis, so I feel like I can run everything. But now is the time when I feel like the products that are coming out don't require them anymore, which I'm not mad about. You know, I think it's fine for everybody else, and I still like using minis. I guess I don't know what it'll do to their business, and I'm not sure I really care. D&D, unlike, you know, World of Warcraft or any other kind of computer-based game, I don't have to, you know, my fun isn't connected to the success of the company. I can do whatever I want with D&D, with just the stuff that they put out, and I can have fun for years and years and years. So I don't know whether it'll hurt or help. I think it's a little, you know, it's a little concerning that they're putting out products so fast. I think they're going to saturate their own market, but I don't know, you know, that's just me sitting in a armchair, you know, talking business that I don't know anything about.
Well,
Thad, I'm sorry. Did you want to jump in before me? I'm good.
No. I already answered. I didn't.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think it's great for the game. I think Essentials, like Mike was, like Shay was saying, it's a fantastic product. I think that's probably what they should have done to begin with. Even if all of the other 4E materials went away, if we just had Essentials, we could run some really killer games with just those materials. And, you know, anyone can say whether or not it's actually helped the company financially. Who knows? We're not privy to that information. But at least as far as my games go, it'll be a big help. And knowing that, like, if I'm still wanting to run 4th edition of D&D, whatever that is, in 20 years, I could look at my Essentials stuff and say, yeah, that's where I'll go to for core. So.
Well, I think...
Next question.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't think there are any more. That's a terrible question.
Reboot a campaign?
Okay, yeah. How do you reboot a campaign? Or come back from a long hiatus?
Oh, can I jump in on this one first?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, take it away.
I did just this when we started playing 4th edition. I had a long established campaign in 3.5, and it I basically jumped the characters, not the characters, but I jumped the world 1,000 years ahead. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the old characters that were in the campaign, it was hinted that they had heroic endings, but there's not been a lot of detail given. And as the new campaign progresses, it's quite possible they'll find out about these characters. Now they're all running new characters, these same players, but they're things will have 1,000 years has gone by, so it's a long time, and because it was in the middle of a cataclysm, a lot of things were lost. There's not a lot of data, so there's going to find out about these legends of these other players as they go along. But I've used my same campaign setting and everything, and I've just incorporated some of the new materials and stuff into that particular, you know, modules and things like that into that campaign setting.
So it was easy to retool mine to 4E. I did not have any issues at all. So,
Mike?
Which one?
Exactly.
I'll let the Weem go.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of the common theme is to advance or move the timeline back. I've done that. I've done that myself a few times, including in just a couple campaigns back too, when I started 4E. And yeah, I think it's a good way to go because I think it gives people some perspective. Some time's gone by, you can see that some of the stuff that certain players may have experienced in the previous campaign, you kind of see how those changes have come about over time. Compared to the immediate aftermath that they saw at the end, for example, of a previous campaign. So I think that's a really good way to go, is to shift the timeline. That's generally what I do. And from what I see, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I think you guys watch Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica?
I'm just now getting into it.
Oh, so I can't spoil it. Okay, never mind.
No spoilers. I've watched the first season.
Okay, well, so let me tell you one very important thing about that show that is totally irrelevant. Stop watching when you get to the boxing episode in season 3. Because the show just takes a deep dive into crap.
Right then. I'll keep that in mind.
Awesome. Seriously, it's awesome up till then, and then as soon as they hit that, it's just terrible. All right, so then I can't spoil that show. I think that I like the idea of jumping 1,000 years, but I think it can also be fun to jump just a couple of years. You know, it's kind of fun if you're running and this is not about my game, if you were running like a Forgotten Realms campaign where you're fighting against the Zhintarim, and then you know, everyone goes on hiatus and you might come back and you might even up the level of the characters just for fun. Just, you know, let them start off 4 levels higher than they were. And now, you know, a whole bunch of different things have happened. People that were small villains have become major villains, and cities that they loved have been sacked, and all, you know, there could be all kinds of interesting changes that have occurred. And then you can let them decide what happened to their characters during that time. And then you can kind of start from there. And I think that could be a really fun way to go.
You know, that's an excellent idea. What's intriguing is that, I don't know if you remember, Mike, do you remember the Fate of Istis module? When we went from first edition AD&D to second edition, were you around back then?
which Mike, me?
Yeah, Mike Shea, sorry.
No, I wasn't. I started with second edition.
Okay, well, second edition, to introduce people to the new changes in the rules, they actually created a whole string of, as a big thick module, booklet called The Fate of Istis. And it took players through what happens, because bards changed, assassins went away, there was a bunch of big changes that happened, and it's the only time I've seen Wizards do something like that. Actually take players through how you can possibly change your campaign setting. It all took place in the world of Greyhawk, of course, at that point, and but showed in this storyline of, like, oh, it must have been like a dozen adventures, how the world actually changes, and work in incorporating rules mechanics into that. So, yeah, look it up if you can. Yeah, Fate of Istis.
Something I've used in the past for rebooting campaigns that I think is a viable option is, depending on where they left off, using the previous story as kind of the jump-off point. So, having the new players come and have to clean up after the old players. You know, did the old players, did they make it all the way to the end? You know, did they hit level 30? Did they kill whoever they were after or save whoever they were trying to save? Or, you know, did they get to level 12 and then the game just ended? Because if the game just ended, to me, that means, you know, they didn't complete what they were trying to do. And so the new party is coming into a world that's living with that consequence. You know, were they trying to save the world from some impending peril? And does that, you know, that would mean to me they left, they didn't finish their quest, either they were defeated or they quit somewhere in the middle, and so the new party has to now take up that fight in a world that's probably even worse off, you know. or you could have even one of the players. If they finished all the way, you could take one of the characters, talk it out with the players ahead of time, but even make them the new villain or the new patron.
Right. Yeah, it's, I think that was perfectly viable. That's a good idea.
Have the villain go back in time and kill the father of one of the main characters.
Oh, man. Time travel's a mess.
No. No, thank you.
Have another one.
I had a tiny little spot of time travel in my campaign, and it was such a pain. And it was totally off the cuff. Like, a creature had been bred, not to talk about my game, a creature had been bred to kill the party, but the creature had been was 900 years old. So, like, if it was bred to kill us and it's 900 years old and we're not 900 years old, I'm like, oh, God, I just put time travel in.
Yeah.
I thought I found a pretty good way out of it, though.
I'm using flashbacks.
I was just talking about reboots. So.
Yeah, I'm using flashbacks in my campaign right now, and it's almost like time travel, but not. And I think that's...
Oh, yeah, that time... No, flashbacks and flash forwards are awesome. Like, even if they're not the characters, like, even if you just have a set of side characters and you just want to tell a little story about them, you know, I think, and run it as a game where the players get to play the characters and kind of go through a thing, I think that's a really powerful storytelling.
Yeah. Well, for my campaign, I actually started them off in the middle of this combat, in the middle of a burning ship, you know, fighting a horde of zombies, and they have no idea how they got there. And then I took them to the past 3 weeks. All the role-playing is happening in days prior to them being in this combat. And so, you know, I'll take them 3 weeks in the past, and then they'll go through some events. And then I'll take them through a couple more combats on the ship where they're figuring stuff out. And then I'll take them 2 weeks into the past and show them what's going on. And eventually they're going to meet the villain in the past. Well, they'll meet the villain, the main villain, on the ship. And they'll have to fight him, and they won't lose to him, but he won't get, you know, he'll get away, all that kind of fun stuff. And then they'll meet the villain in the past in a flashback, but he'll be an ally at that point. And so they don't, you know, they have to play that they don't know that he's about to become the main villain. And so they got to be all nice to him. And so
how do you avoid the metagaming on that?
Who cares? If they metagame, they metagame. But, you know, and I'm even letting things happen. Like, I'm pushing them, you know, they're going on their fifth combat without an extended rest. They're running really low on healing surges and healing abilities and stuff. But in the past, in their flashback, if they choose to go buy healing potions, then the next combat they'll have those healing potions. That's fine with me.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
You know, because now they're stressed, but I'm giving them options aside from an extended rest to figure out a way out of their situation. So, and they can choose to spend more time in the flashbacks if they want. If they want to learn more about a villain, or if they want to, you know, do things that will help them in the future more, then I'll give them more time in the flashback. I don't cut it off and just say, okay, you're done. I'm like, has everyone done what they want to do in the past? And they say, yeah, and then we'll jump forward to the combat. So
the idea is intriguing. I don't know if I could manage it without my players or being able to try to metagame their way out of it. I don't know. That's my players. I mean, that's
you know. I looked at a lot of movies that use kind of disjointed timelines where you'll see somebody shooting somebody close to the beginning of the movie, and you're like, oh, that guy's the bad guy. But then you see him, you know, hanging out with them in the, you know, in the flashbacks, and you're just like, oh, you know, this guy's the bad guy. What are you doing? Well, you know, the party has to deal with that same kind of stuff. They know, but they can't do anything about it. So, anyway, we're way off topic now. So, also, I'm gonna have to go to work soon. So, we're gonna have to look at wrapping it. Oh, it looks like Tracy has to go soon, also.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said yeah.
Okay. Gotta get indignant Tracy out here so she talks. Sounds like she might be showing up.
They have a similar thing in Leverage to what you're talking about with usually in the scenes in that game you have two characters, a primary and a secondary in a scene, but people outside of the scene can also interact and change it, which is really cool. I want to bring that to D&D.
I like that idea of being able to giving the players the ability to alter things in the current storyline. even by...
Yeah, well...
Huh?
Well, and also just, like, you don't have to be there. I hate the fact that the characters are always together. Like, they're BFFs and, like, they don't do anything apart.
They're very codependent.
I think it's really annoying because, like, it makes no sense in the story that, you know, that there's going to be five of them there with the king.
Yeah.
So being able to break it up while still making it so the other players can do things, I think would be really awesome.
Yeah. And these flashbacks are perfect for that kind of stuff because combat can happen in them and skill challenges can happen. But, you know, it's also a lot of role play. So, you know, I can have one guy go home and you know, have a talk with his family while somebody else is out shopping or, you know, whatever, you know, meeting with the king, like you said.
How do you change if the outcome gets changed? How do you change the current timeline if the past gets changed as a result?
Well, I only allow them to change small things. You know, they can't change the fact that they're on the boat that they're on that's burning. You know, they can't change the fact that the zombies show up. But they can change the fact of, like, you know, they figure out that they are going to need, say, at some point they figure out we're going to need a grappling hook. And so the next time they hit a flashback, if they want to go find a grappling hook, they can. Now, I might make it a little difficult on them and turn it into a skill challenge or something, but, you know, that's just how it goes. And it's kind of one of those things that, like, you know, it's in movies and in bad literature all the time, you see, like, an unnamed drow ranger finds the sword of demon slaying, you know, just a few chapters before he has to go slay a demon. You know, how fortuitous. But so in the story, it's just like, why would you buy a grappling hook, you know, or, you know, some weird item? And then if you knew you were never going to need it, but then if you knew you were going to need it and you already were at that situation, you can't really go back and buy it. So why not give my players the opportunity? When they run up to those situations, they're like, oh, well, we don't have this. Well, you know, it's time for a flashback. Now you can get it.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like the cartoon method of just being able to reach behind you and pull out whatever you need.
It's like, I just happen to have that, and here's why. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
You have the guy who's not great talking to other people. He's the one that ends up running into the king, and then, like, well, but I don't have diplomacy. My role sucked. What can I do?
Oh, that's brilliant.
Totally sucked.
Yeah.
So you have maybe the bard had already been, the guy that was playing the bard said, hey, you know what? I've been telling the story about how awesome this guy is to everybody in town. I'm sure somebody's heard of it by now, like, and told the king about it. And then that could, you know, give them a bonus to the role or just undo the failure or something.
Yeah, that would be, oh, that's smart. That's really smart.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
You should write a post on that.
I'm trying.
For my website.
For your website.
Well,
hey guys,
I will bring story
I think this is, what was that?
I said, I will bring story to D&D.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Well, I think this is a show, a really long show. So
yeah,
we'll call it.
But a good one.
Yeah, we'll call it here and say goodbye. And does anyone have anything they want to pimp? Anything, any projects that they're doing right now or anything they think people should take a look at? Tracy?
Go ahead.
Take a look at. I'm still slaving away at Lost City, so hopefully we'll have previews up soon on Football Quarterly website.
Awesome. Mike?
Slyflourish.com/book.
Nice.
We pimped that for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Mike?
Well, theweem.com. And,
don't sound so excited about it, please.
And
well,
not, and
I've got
not,
a website.
Kind of sucks, but check it out. If you come and visit it, I'd appreciate it.
I've got a site you might check out. I don't know. I throw graphics up every once in a while.
It's good stuff.
But the other thing I'm doing right now is Battle Mapper, battlemapper.com, but doing maps allowing people to create and print maps online for their games.
Oh, nice.
That's at battlemapper, MAPR.com.
Okay. Randall?
That's it.
Got another Star Frontiers post coming out on This Is My Game. I believe that's releasing on Thursday, right?
This Thursday or next Thursday. I'd have to go check the schedule.
I thought you'd said it was this Thursday.
Yeah, then it probably is. I lie a lot, too, though.
Otherwise, it'd be like logging onto the site. And it's like, oh, publish, click.
Yeah. I better get on. Yeah, I'll check the schedule. It's probably this Thursday.
Yeah. And just whatever comes to my mind on www.initorwhat.com.
Awesome. So, and I'm pimping ilovenicorns.com this week. So, yeah, great site. You got to check it out. I think there's a link to it on my profile at 4geeks4e.com. And then, of course, you know, slyflourish.com/book. As always. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I want to shout out to Mike Robles because DM Samuel's not here, and I know that's usually what he does. So, yeah. So everybody have a good week, and maybe we'll get together next week. Maybe we'll get together the week after that. But either way, you guys, yeah.
Sounds good.
I don't know how to end this. So yeah, just say goodbye.
See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You don't have to hang up. I'm just.